ABC News, I'm Andy Field. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee calling for prayer after Monday's Christian school mass shooting, saying now is not the time to talk about legislation. Florida Democratic Congressman Maxwell Frost disagrees, saying the House should pass a bill creating the Federal Office of Gun Violence Prevention.
If, God forbid, your child died before the age of 18, the most likely reason is because they were shot to death in this country right now.
A candlelight vigil underway in Nashville. In Virginia, funeral services held for 28-year-old Irvo Otieno, who died earlier this month while in police custody at Central State Hospital. Seven deputies, three hospital workers facing charges in his death. Pope Francis in the hospital with a respiratory infection.
The Pope is ill now, so say an extra prayer for him.
President Biden calling for prayer while celebrating Greek Independence Day at the White House. This is ABC News. The Minneapolis City Council holds a special meeting tomorrow on a potential settlement in a lawsuit filed by that state's Human Rights Department over the city's policing practices. Another major storm hitting California, bringing heavy rain, snow, winds, hail, and floods to the state.
In Tulare County, South Valley, fire crews have spent days building what's called a muscle wall, a temporary flood wall made out of plastic barriers to protect homes and a golf course that could flood all the way through this summer as snow melts in the mountains and flows down the Kings River. Rick Carhart is with Cal Fire.
It's a situation that is going to be affecting Tulare County for months.
It's a one-mile-long barrier they hope will prevent catastrophic flooding. So far, corralling the force of the river has been a challenge. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The FDA signing off on selling overdose reversal naloxone over-the-counter. Hawaiian officials reporting more than 30 people to police, claiming that group was harassing a pod of wild dolphins off the Big Island. Andy Field, ABC News.
Fort Howard Cemetery, Green Bay focuses on life, history, and the community. They salute our Vietnam veterans and all our military personnel. See them also at Restlawn Memorial Park, Milwaukee, and Gardens of Stone Bank, Heartland.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. A man authorities believe firebombed the Madison lobbying offices of an anti-abortion group last year is now in custody. On May 6, 2022, someone tossed two Molotov cocktails into the Wisconsin Family Action Office. One didn't go off. The other set a bookcase on fire. Written on the outside of the building, quote, "If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't safe either," unquote. No one was there at the time of the attack, which happened about a week after a draft opinion was leaked, suggesting the Supreme Court would soon overturn Roe v. Wade. The court did just that in June, sending Wisconsin back to an abortion ban set in 1849. The 29-year-old male suspect was arrested Tuesday at Boston's Logan Airport. And it's the end for Badger basketball after losing last night in the NIT semifinals. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, "We're going to amputate your leg." I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Show that between 40 and 70% of caregivers have clinically significant symptoms of depression. It's reported that 1 in 3 caregivers admit to struggling to take care of their own personal health.
Yep, and that is why we are going to be spending today talking with Naomi Meinertz, I forgot to ask before we got Meinertz, and Melissa Rader from Iowa State University about the Powerful Tools for Caregiver course. Why it's so important, and what you can do to take care of your own well-being. Welcome, Naomi and Melissa. Let's start with Naomi. Can you please introduce yourself and tell listeners your role in the Powerful Tools for Caregivers course and a brief history on how this course came to be?
So I'm Naomi Meinertz. I am the program coordinator for Powerful Tools for Caregivers. So Powerful Tools for Caregivers, which we refer to as PTC, was developed in 1997 by Kathy Shannon, Susan Tipton, and Leslie Congleton as part of a nonprofit organization called Legacy Caregiver Health. That was in Portland, Oregon. They spent 3 years pilot testing it and finally introduced it to the world in 1997. Currently, we have roughly about 4,500 class leaders leading the program across the United States, Canada, and South Korea, and it's led in 4 different languages, English, Spanish, French, and Korean. And PTC was originally developed for caregivers with adults with chronic illnesses, but it's since been adapted to caregivers of children, and that's a relationship between parent and child, so it can be caregivers of adult children as well.
Right, and that's actually something that we can relate well to, right, that both Liza and I got into this work because we had children who are now adults, so now they are young adult children that we are caregivers to.
And Melissa, I had the pleasure of learning from you when Kristen and I took the facilitators training, and your passion for this course was always present. It was so fun to have you be a part of that. Can you tell us how you became involved in the Powerful Tools for Caregivers, or like Naomi said, we're just going to go ahead and call it PTC since this is only an hour-long show.
Sure. So my background is in early
Sciences Specialist with Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. And I was so blessed that when I came into the work, the Powerful Tools for Caregivers was already a curriculum that was being taught. So I went in to get trained as a class leader, led my first class, and absolutely fell in love. And I tell folks who come in new to the field, it's my favorite thing to do. If I could only do one, had to pick one curriculum that I do, it would be Powerful Tools. So that's been 10 years ago. Since then, I have become a state leader in the curriculum, a master trainer, and now that the curriculum has come to Iowa State University, I actually help lead the master trainer classes and work closely with Naomi.
That's excellent. Well, we appreciate your commitment to all that work, and I know we're struggling over every second is valuable, so we don't want to keep saying powerful tools for caregivers. We want to say PTC, but I want to really know, why is the word powerful in there? In other words, from each of you, can you tell us what makes this course so powerful? Either one can jump in.
Okay. To me, this program is powerful because it focuses solely on the caregiver and their needs. It's not about what their care partner needs and how to best suit their care partner. It's about the caregiver and taking time for themselves to focus on their needs in the care relationship, and maybe even just taking like 15 minutes in the morning to enjoy a cup of coffee and to recenter themselves and to emphasize that importance. And that's what's powerful to me.
And in return, then their care receiver benefits from that.
Exactly.
So an important place is that they take care of themselves. The powerful to me also means it's life changing.
Can you speak
to
that a little bit?
We've had participants in it that they become our best recruiters after the class because it's been such an aha for them of the importance of when someone has a chronic condition that we need to treat it different than we do an acute condition.
Good point. That is a really good point. And so you're saying that as a result, we have to look at the actually, I don't even want to guess what you're trying to say. Connect that to me. Connect that for me to the caregiver piece. What do you mean?
It is a new normal. When we have someone that we're caring for that has an acute condition, life will typically go back to how it was. And when there's a chronic condition involved, this is a new normal that we have to adjust to.
Sure.
And it may be a very long time. So that's why we have to adjust as the caregiver or care partner.
Right.
And you had placed a lot of weight in our training and the fact that this is an evidence-based program. Did I state that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Yes. And can you tell us more why that is such an important factor?
Sure, you bet. A lot of times we will hear research-based curriculum, and that means that it's based in good information that comes from research. And PTC is that. But at a higher level, it's evidence-based. And what that means is the curriculum itself has been tested and researched. Mm. And when two class leaders do it with what we call fidelity, meaning they're supposed to follow the curriculum as it is designed, that they should have those similar outcomes that the research showed. So no matter whether I'm in New York or California or Korea, those same outcomes should be there no matter where I am or who is leading my classes.
That makes a whole lot of sense as a social science teacher, right? And so it is taking that aspect of the scientific method that I think brings a lot of fidelity is a good word, right, to what we're working with. I do also like to remind my students that human beings are a little more complicated and unpredictable than elements, right, or chemicals, but it is important that we have some type of evidence based to the work that we're doing. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and ask you a little bit more about your own personal situation. We like to ask our guests if they've had any caregiving experience. So could each of you share with us your caregiving experience, if you've had any, and then how this course has changed you and as a caregiver? I mean, so you gave us the answer about how it's powerful in general, but what about your own personal experience? And if you haven't had caregiving experience, I bet there's still elements of this course that has impacted how you live your day in and day out life. So can you share a little bit about your own personal experience, please? Naomi, let's start with you.
So I've been a caregiver in small ways for my grandparents. When one grandpa was passing away of cancer, and my other grandpa had Alzheimer's disease. And so in those ways, I was a bit of a caregiver for them, but I was also a resident care assistant in a dementia unit. But for me, on a personal level, as a researcher, the structure of the program, the benefits demonstrated by the participants, that gives me a drive to know that programs like this, programs similar to PTC, have a great impact, and that knowledge, it drives me to continue to evaluate programs and develop programs and to continue to improve the lives of older adults and their family members. But when I go through and I look through some of the content of the program, I'm reminded to take a breath myself and to take a second for myself and remember what's important to me.
That's good. I mean, because that is a big part. I mean, it's not the only component, but it is. And it's a big part of the messaging we're getting across the board as people on this planet right now. Right. I think coming out of the pandemic, we're getting a lot of feedback about how important it is to be in the now and to give ourselves permission to take those breaths, to take those moments, because otherwise it's taking a toll on us. Right. It's moving too fast. And no one's going to tell us to do that. No one's going to say, well, maybe the kindergarten kids are, I hope they're still getting nap time, right? But I don't even know. Sometimes I look at the school programs and I think, my gosh, do we let these kids breathe or play, right? So, but no one else is going to come along and tell us to do this. So I think that's a really good point, Naomi. How about you, Melissa? What's your thoughts about how it's your experience?
I would say in my own experience, I have been a support for primary caregivers. Mother is a caregiver for my daddy, who's 80 and has cancer. And my mother-in-law is in a memory care unit. And so while my husband and his sister are the primary caregivers, I'm a support for them. In my personal life, yes, I use the tools all the time, looking for those hidden use that I say. The communication tools, DESC and Akito, have been invaluable to me and the work that I do as well. So both professionally and personally.
Yeah. And I knew you were going to say that because I remember you telling us that when you were training us, right? And you used a couple acronyms there that I know we're going to dig a little bit more into in the next segment. But do you mind just briefly telling us what Akito means so that people don't think, oh, if I take this course, I'm now going to have to put a black belt on and like do some judo.
My mind went to keto diet or something. Oh, like we're right, introducing. Exactly. Yeah.
So Akito is a way of communicating with others that you try not to get into that back and forth. So when you are met with hostility, how do you navigate that? And I call it like a good dance partner. You become the good dance partner in that communication, that you're still holding true to yourself, but you are also helping that person move in the direction that you want them to move.
Well said. When we come back, we are going to talk about how we can learn from our emotions and how we can effectively communicate our feelings, needs, and concerns.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project, transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
The spring election is Tuesday, April 4th. It's being called one of the most important in the country, with candidates for one state Supreme Court seat on the ballot.
Vote. Then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
It kicks off at 7 p.m. with a special As Goes Wisconsin.
Then at 8, News Director Terry Bell has results with reporters checking in from around the state.
Election coverage live Tuesday, April 4th, starting at 7 on your local civic media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 17 tonight under clear skies. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 43. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night, 33. Cloudy skies. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning much cooler Saturday with highs in the upper 30s and mixed precipitation. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 29.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
Civic Media.
0.7 WMDX.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and we have been talking with Naomi Meinertz and Melissa Rader from Iowa State University about the Powerful Tools for Caregiver course. This is a 6-week course that Liza and I have been trained to facilitate, and we will be offering for free starting on this April 12th via Zoom, and it will be starting at noon. If you would like to learn more about how to reduce stress, improve self-confidence, manage time, I need to take the course 6 more times, and effectively communicate your feelings, please go to empoweredcaregivercommunity.com and sign up with us today. I'll say that one more time, empoweredcaregivercommunity.com.
And one thing that I am really working on right now personally is learning from my emotions and not having knee-jerk reactions to them, really. I mean, it's so easy, you know, when you're angry to act out in anger, just blah, throw it out there and deal with what comes next, right? But Melissa, can you explain a little bit about the importance of this and how it can change things for the better, and how the PTC course, I guess, specifically helps caregivers with this concept?
Sure. So we give you a box of tools, and many of them are communication tools, but they're also take a step back and breathe. And how do I manage guilt? How do I manage anger? How do I manage sadness? And what are the signs I need to look for depression? So you will learn some of those ideas, but the techniques that we go through for being mindful, being present, and stopping and resting helps put you in the moment, helps put you a step back. So that you can sort of navigate that in not a knee-jerk response. We call it responding rather than reacting. Mm. But I know Naomi can share a little bit more about the managing emotions.
Naomi, I think what we were wondering, Naomi, is from research, right? And so you do a lot of research and evidence, and then I think we've been talking about in terms of our own personal lives that we can keep going through the days, right, and feel all these emotions. But what are some of the strategies, or what do you recommend, or what has worked for you beyond just taking the breath, right,
to respond rather than react when you're in some of those negative emotions. I loved how Melissa listed out anger, guilt, sadness. I mean, those are three really primary emotions that caregivers are dealing with. So what's your take on all this?
I mean, I think Melissa summed it up pretty well, but I think those are just human emotions. Everybody gets those. They're not necessarily negative. They're just telling you that you're experiencing something that's meaningful to you, and being able to identify them, name them, and then address them in an appropriate manner. Those skills are things that anybody can learn, not just caregivers.
Right. Everybody should learn.
We talk a lot about what are the triggers, noting what's happening with your body when you're going into those as well, too. So recognizing what are those signs before I get to that volcano exploding.
Right. And super helpful, right? Super helpful things that, as we've been saying, anybody can learn from. And so along those lines, Melissa, after going through this course, what's some of the feedback that you get from people who have participated? And do you have any personal stories that you have heard that you can share with us?
I do. I get all kinds of thank yous at the end. And one of the probably best forms of the life-changing impact is that usually at that end class, it is a 6-week course. The folks are not ready for it to end. Mm-hmm. And to see the change, and then we do an action plan each week related to their self-care. And they actually choose what is my confidence level for that. And in the beginning, so many of them, their confidence level is 3, 4. It just surprises me. And then by the end, we've gotten them to 7, 8, 9 of their confidence level for taking time to care for themselves. Classes that meet for 6 weeks, there's a bond there. And I've had groups that continue to meet. When they're in person, they continue to meet for coffee a couple of times a month, supporting each other through placement in facilities, funerals. And then for virtual, I've had them make Facebook pages. Not I had them, they did.
Right.
Made Facebook pages in order to stay as a connected group supporting each other without me. So that's been one of the best ways that I've seen it continue on.
Sure, it's a true testimony.
Well, and that's a big part of our mission is how do we create this community? Because being a caregiver in and of itself can be lonely and isolating. So I love the concept, or I love hearing the reassurance that people get to know each other and continue on long after the course. We've been talking with Naomi Meinertz and Melissa Radar from the Iowa State University about the Powerful Tools for Caregiver course. When we come back, we will talk about how do we effectively communicate our feelings, needs, and concerns.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley. ABC News, I'm Andy Field.
Tennessee Governor Bill Lee calling for prayer after Monday's Christian school mass shooting, saying now is not the time to talk about legislation. Florida Democratic Congressman Maxwell Frost disagrees, saying the House should pass a bill creating the Federal Office of Gun Violence Prevention.
If, God forbid, your child died before the age of 18, the most likely reason is because they were shot to death in this country right now.
A candlelight vigil underway in Nashville. In Virginia, funeral services held for 28-year-old Irvo Otieno, who died earlier this month while in police custody at Central State Hospital. Seven deputies, three hospital workers facing charges in his death. Pope Francis in the hospital with a respiratory infection.
The Pope is ill now, so say an extra prayer for him.
President Biden calling for prayer while celebrating Greek Independence Day at the White House. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Republicans in charge of the state budget process for the next several weeks plan to disregard Governor Evers' budget proposal and start from base.
Yeah, non-fiscal policy will all be removed. We've said that already, and we've done that in the past, and so that'll be the way that'll be handled.
Republican Mark Bourne co-chairs the Joint Finance Committee. Work on the next two-year spending plan ramps up this week with briefings from state agency leaders. Wisconsin wildlife officials are urging people to get a state trail pass. Anyone 16 and older who is using a state trail needs to show a pass when a warden asks. The Department of Natural Resources says the $25 annual cost helps maintain state trails. In sports, Wisconsin's basketball season is over after last night's loss in the NIT semifinals. Tonight, the Bucks are at Indiana. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Dear hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show with Kristen Voss and Liza Hellenbrand. We've been talking with Naomi Meinhertz and Melissa. Oh, I knew I was going to say it wrong. Yeah, you were totally right, Kristen.
You're overthinking
yep,
it,
at
Melissa.
At some point, I was going to say it wrong. Melissa Rader from Iowa State University about the Powerful Tools for Caregivers course. This is a six-week course, as we've been saying, that I and Kristen are trained to facilitate. We are going to be offering it for free starting April 12th via Zoom, starting at noon. And if you would like to learn more how to reduce stress, improve self-confidence, manage time, effectively communicate your feelings, please go to empoweredcaregivercommunity.com and sign up today.
So Naomi, communicating feelings needs and concerns is a big topic in the course that really hit home for me. I am a hothead. We would describe it in my family as having an Irish temper. So very quickly, I am saying to Nicole, my daughter, who I identify as being the main person that I'm a caregiver for, oftentimes am, Nicole, you know, or Nicole Ann. And she's like, I hate Nicole Ann. And I'm like, no, that's you. You shouldn't hate yourself, honey. And she's like, no, I hate that voice. I'm like, oh, that makes some sense. Right. And so that is something that I know I needed to work on. And so when I was taking the course to get trained to be a facilitator, you are also, in a sense, taking the course, right, as a participant. And so for me, it really hit home. And so I'd love for you to share with the audience some of the research behind this idea of communicating our feelings and needs and concerns in a more effective way. And then why did that make it into the curriculum?
Yeah, well, like you said, it's about recognizing and naming those feelings and then addressing them in an appropriate manner. You can be angry, but it doesn't have to be yelling behaviors and name calling or something. Oftentimes in relationships, when we develop that pattern, it becomes just kind of a communication tool within a relationship that can blossom into develop into something that,
sure,
that's not great for the relationship. Blossom means something good. This
right.
is not good.
Right. Yeah.
So being able to have those tools where you understand what you yourself are going through, it can be powerful. And research has shown us that caregivers, they often put themselves and their needs after those of their care partner. And this relates to those depressive symptoms that you mentioned before, those feelings of stress, feelings of loneliness and isolation. And by encouraging caregivers, by giving them permission to feel those feelings, recognize them and name them, we can help relieve those feelings of depression and stress by just validating that process and those feelings.
And I just want to add that the course, we don't just say, okay, let's, what are you feeling? There's steps, there's tools, there's actual, yes. Things
that's why
to
you're
do.
Taking the class.
That's why you're taking.
And why we're not going to teach it to you right now,
yes.
Because we want you to take the class.
right. But I want to switch gears a minute and let's talk boundaries, ladies.
Right? It's a word that makes me groan because I've been told my whole life, you need to work on your boundaries.
Yes. So, and if I think that there is something that caregivers struggle most, Kristen's not alone in this, it is setting boundaries. People that take on the caregiving role, I think, tend to be caring by nature and always wanting to help. Can you talk to us a bit about why this is actually detrimental to being a caregiver and how you address it in the course?
I'll let Melissa take the second part of that question, how we address it in the course, but I'll say that the being that caring person can 24/7 all year can put a strain on someone, and oftentimes it's referred to as caregiver burnout. You know, you just burn out after a while because it's intense. It can be a really intense role. And we talk about in the program about putting your mask on before you help anybody else put their mask on when you're in the airplane.
Right.
And you can't help your care partner. You can't help anybody else if you yourself are struggling to maintain just your basic sanity and get through a day. So setting up those boundaries is a way to maintain that person's sense of self and maintain the strength and consistency within the care partnership. Caregiving can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. And it doesn't have to be a source of continuous stress.
Oh, I think that's a beautiful point, mm-hmm. right? That it doesn't have to be a source of continuous stress. Melissa, do you want to speak a little bit to how we're going to address that,
sure,
in the course, please?
I think that the best tool in the toolbox for caregivers that we do in Powerful Tools is this for setting limits is the desk style of communication. Mm-hmm. And I'll give a little bit of glimpse into that, and that the DESC is an acronym that stands for describe what's the behavior, what's the problem here, express how you feel, specify what needs to happen, and then C is what is the consequence of the behavior. And we really encourage the care partners to think in advance when they need to have these kind of boundary setting conversations and prepare for that. And they actually have partners in the class who they'll share with and make sure, okay, am I following the steps? Because those of us who have a caregiver heart will easily let others sort of take advantage of that. And so there are times, not all times, but there are times where we need to say, here's the line, here's what I need to happen. And on that consequence, we also say a consequence, it can be positive. So if this happens, then this is going to happen. So really trying to parse out those steps for the care partners as they think about how am I going to set limits and boundaries in ways that I haven't before.
So Melissa, I know if I put you on the spot and you're not ready for this, you can tell me so, but I feel like you can give us an example. Can you go through the acronyms and give an example of a situation in which somebody would use this?
Oh, I think I can.
Okay.
So let's say I am setting up folks to come and stay with my care receiver. And so I have one that's continually coming late, and that's problematic because I'm worried about dad being alone. That really shouldn't be happening. But when this this help is coming and they're late, that's problematic. So describe the observable behavior. The fact would be you're coming late, right? But we try not to use those U words. So when help is late, it's upsetting to me and dad and the rest of the family. So that expresses how we feel. It's upsetting. We worry about that he might fall, he might get hurt. Specify what needs to happen. I need for the help to be on time so that there's no missed opportunities in there. There's no holes in our times that we've set up. And then the consequence. The consequence could be if everyone can come on time, then we don't have to worry about dad's care.
Right.
But if that can't happen, I will need to look for other help to come.
I love it.
So
it's very clear.
Setting it both ways. Yes.
Exactly.
It's very clear. It's specific. Whereas many of us who have a caregiver heart might start with, tell me what the problem is, right?
How can I help you, too?
How can I help you? And okay, I'll see if I can get someone else to cover that time. Whereas when we've planned in advance, it helps us to not get off track. So when sort of messages are coming back at us, when excuses are coming back at us, it helps keep us in our what we call the please pass the salt voice, in our calm moments and just wanting to get our message across. So being very clear. And it works in so many other ways. My supervisor says she keeps her little desk card right by her phone. Mm-hmm. And you can see how that would come in handy with supervising people of, you know, we just need to remain calm here. Let's speak about the problem. Let's share how we feel, and let's talk about what's going to happen next.
I love that. And I love it how it keeps the caregiver on course too, because like you said, being a caregiver of nature, I could totally see myself saying, you know what, what's happening here? Why are you late? Well, I'm late because I've got to pick up my son from school. And then I would be like, oh, do you want me to pick up your son from school? You know, that's exactly where I would go. So it helps everybody, right?
Yes, yes. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Because it also really keeps it focused on a behavior,
right?
Not like, you're a terrible person because you're always late, right? Which, yeah. as a person who is chronically late, and Liza loves to point out, and I say that lovingly.
I'm just as late.
Well, you're like a minute ahead of me.
Yes.
So
yeah,
we're both late.
I always get somewhere just enough ahead of you that I can say, oh, I've just been waiting for a minute.
You know? Exactly. But anyways, so that's best for another day.
Right.
Or the other thing that we do is we hold it in until we explode.
Right.
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 Exactly. I don't say anything until, you know, it's just,
yes,
I'm yelling, and that's not the part I want to get to either.
No, because that's exactly, it's unproductive. It doesn't help address the behavior or the consequences, right? And it just creates more negative energy in the room. All right, I have to switch gears because this is also important to me, right? Setting boundaries is huge up there, but when we have these caregiving hearts, when we are people who naturally are trying to take care of others, we have oftentimes those same people have a hard time asking for help themselves, right? And so can you, both of you, if you want, speak to what is it that we can learn from this course in how and why it is important for us to ask for help when we're a family caregiver?
Yeah, I actually think this is a really complicated question because I think it opens up a lot of discussion and
Go for it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's talk.
I think we often think about a caregiver or caregiving as being a dyad. We have one caregiver and one care partner. And usually that person who takes on that caregiving role feels that they need to take all of the responsibility and that needs to be on them. And this, I am the caregiver. But research tells us that's not true. And when Melissa was answering one of your other questions, she said, and family members, because care is actually part of a network. So if we can all reframe that to not be, oh, I'm here alone, I am an island, you are not. If you are a caregiver, you likely have a network of people who will step in and who you can ask for help and who will ask you to ask them to ask to help
right.
you.
Exactly. Yep.
And Kristen has said that beautifully in the past. What was your quote or your statement? When you allow somebody to help them, to help you, you give them the opportunity to serve.
Yeah,
did I get that right?
Basically, right. Yeah. It's a gift because people love to help. And when I let them help me, then they say to me, thank you. I really appreciate having had that opportunity.
Yes.
And we have to let go of a little bit of control. I may think no one can care for John the way that I do. But I have to let go of that. And that's good for me too, when I do that, in meeting some of the needs that I have as well, but letting that go.
Excellent.
And that help can look so different depending on your situation too. It doesn't have to be something big. It could be getting groceries or something to help out and relieve some stress.
Of course, we would love if all caregivers took this course through us. We are not the only ones that are teaching it, though. So can you please let listeners know where they can go to find more information about the course in general and find other providers and or locations in which they can participate?
Yes, you can find Powerful Tools. You can find us at powerfultoolsforcaregivers.org. That lists all the information about PTC if you want to become a class leader or a master trainer, but it also lists all of the class series offered by class leaders. And it can be if you want to take a virtual class or if you'd like to take an in-person class in your area.
That's great because yes. I do love the fact. Can you tell us those numbers again? How many people are offering this class right now?
We have roughly 4,500 class leaders who have been trained in the past.
Wonderful. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. We've been talking with Naomi Meinhertz and Melissa Radar from the Iowa University about the Powerful Tools for Caregivers course. We'll be back after this short break. So sorry if I messed up your name.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats that make your mouth water.
Caramel, cookies and cream, strawberry shortcake and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
Kids, they're just different than us. They have no inhibitions, consider silverware optional, and can find fun anywhere. And when kids get really sick, they're different than us too. Until now, children diagnosed with blood cancer have been treated like many adults. Not anymore. The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society proudly introduces the Dare to Dream Project,
transforming treatment and care through advocacy, education, and the largest global clinical trial for kids with blood cancer. For the first time, a specific treatment can be matched to a specific type of cancer in a specific child. It'll be the biggest medical advancement for little patients in history. Dare to dream with us. Support the Dare to Dream Project and all the work that the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society does at lls.org.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows dip down to about 17 tonight under clear skies. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 43. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night, 33. Cloudy skies. Upper 40s Friday with a chance for scattered storms. Turning much cooler Saturday with highs in the upper 30s and mixed precipitation. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 29.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
I'm Kristen Voss, and I'm here in studio with my co-host Liza Hellenbrand, and we have two really interesting people from Iowa State University that have been talking with us about the Powerful Tools for Caregivers course. This is a course that we've been trained in to be facilitators, and we will be offering virtually starting Wednesday, April 12th. Before we let you go, I love to ask our guests, what are three things that you wish all caregivers knew? Who wants to start? Go for it, Melissa.
I'll start. It's Melissa. So three things. First is caregiving is stressful, but you can learn to manage that stress. Second is take care of yourself on the journey. And the third is you are going to need help. Mm. So accept that help.
Isn't that the truth?
Yes. Wonderful.
How about you, Naomi?
Mine are very similar to Melissa. To rely on your care network, that you aren't alone. You likely have some people near you who would love to help you. My second one is to remember that being a caregiver is only one part of who you are. You are still an entire individual outside of that. And the last thing is actually for people who don't consider themselves a caregiver yet. So if you think you're going to become a caregiver or like eventually in your future, to prepare yourself to consider all the different resources out there that could help you in that role, including PTC, including listening to podcasts like this, and to prepare yourself for that situation because it can make a meaningful difference for your entire care network.
What is that Rosalind Carter saying?
Right. I don't know the order. There's four types of people in this world. Either you are a caregiver, you're going to become a caregiver, you have been a caregiver, or you're going to need a caregiver.
Yep. Yes. Exactly. Nice job.
Yeah. Thank you so much, ladies, for being with us today and taking the time and all that you do to support family caregivers.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
What do you think, Liza? What'd you get out of this one?
I'm so excited to, I was going to say take the course, but facilitate the course.
We've already done that, right?
Yeah. We've got some practicing to do. It's been a while. When did we end up doing the facilitators training? February, January?
No,
I don't know.
Yeah,
no, it was... Yeah. I lose track of time, but
it was a while ago.
It was, but I think for me, and I know that you can explain this better, is just the you need to make time.
Yes, exactly. Well, I don't know that I can explain it better, but I think for me, what I'm recognizing is that when I do all of these things that we've been hearing from many guests, but definitely are the core concepts behind Powerful Tools for Caregivers, I've become a better caregiver. We were working last weekend, and remember I said to you, this has been a really good week with Nicole. And you were like, well, let's reflect on that. Why? What's been different? And one of the primary things was I was more patient. I was more present. I was more calm. And then, duh, she cooperates more.
Right.
She is more engaging. She, you know, is more
compliant. Well, like Melissa said, that you know, it will benefit you both. So
right, exactly. And so yeah. That's why I feel like it really has proven to me that the time I put into that course, which some of those weeks I was like, I don't have this hour. I don't have this hour and a half, was actually a smart thing, because by investing in myself in that time where it was really, you know, a stressful couple of hours, maybe it still in the long term has helped me. And so it's been a really smart investment of my time.
Yeah. It kind of made me think, you know, sometimes there's things that you're so busy, you don't have the time to do them. But if you would just take the time, it would be so much easier down the road. You know, whether it's getting organized in a certain area in your life, or, you know, you just got to address something, but you don't because you're busy and you're stressed and you don't have the time. But really, to me, that's saying, you need this more than anybody.
Right. Exactly. So that's why, if you would like to participate in this six-week course for free. That's right. The best part right now, mm-hmm. is that we're able to offer it for free. It's starting on April 12th. It's Wednesdays for 6 weeks, meeting over Zoom from noon to 1:30.
Yes, and you can go to empowercaregivercommunity.com to sign up. We will be offering this hopefully more in the future, but why wait? There's no guarantees. Let's sign up and help yourself today. I also want to make sure that we promote next week's show, when we have Tammy Jackson from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities on. And it's going to be a really timely conversation, because tomorrow, I know that you're totally bummed out that you can't be there, but tomorrow, me and many hundreds of other people are going to join the Wisconsin Survival Coalition and go to the Capitol and do some advocacy work. And I'm going to be bringing my son with me. So it'll be a nice mother-son experience. And we can come back and share with Tammy what we were hearing and her input on what's in the budget. And then, do you know what else she had on the radar? She's a wonderful speaker.
She is. She really understands the whole legislative process and helps bring it down to a level that is palatable for the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And she really understands the best ways to advocate. So I think she's going to be talking about that and the specifics within the nuances within the asks that the caregiving community has for the governor and the legislature to consider in this budget.
Exactly. There's a handful of proposals out there in the state budget that will benefit family caregivers, and some of them are confusing.
Very confusing.
We've been talking about them for weeks, and I'm still kind of confused. And then you pointed out to my attention that if I'm confused, then there's other people out there that also don't get it. So be sure to tune in and hear that conversation.
And then, you know, I also want to keep our listeners remembering that we've got these caregiver gift boxes, right?
Right.
So we've had some people make some donations to us. And if you're interested in giving us a few items to put in our caregiver gift boxes, go to empoweredcaregivercommunity.com and let us know. We also would love to hear who should get these gift boxes. So there's a spot on our website, empoweredcaregivercommunity.com, mm-hmm. Where you can make a suggestion or a nomination for somebody that you think should be honored with one of these.
Yes. And when you say you have something to give to the gift boxes, we would love to partner with area businesses and do some joint promotion and help lift both of us up. I just didn't want anybody emailing like, oh, I have a used pair of socks if you want to put in the gift box.
Exactly.
Know? So we would love some sponsors and partnerships that we can get together and give more deserving caregivers some gift boxes, because what a wonderful surprise to open your front door and just find a random gift.
Yep. And something that's really identifying the work that you do. Right?
Yes.
And getting an opportunity for us to shout you out or shout out about you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
here on air. And so speaking along those lines, remember to keep listening to us live on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8 p.m. Of course, you can always find our replays on the Civic Media app, which can be downloaded at any app store or on our website and all three major podcasting platforms.
We know that caregiving can be hard and overwhelming, but we want to end each show with on a positive note saying, you got this.
Yep, and together we're stronger, so stay.
Dear Hero, whoever you are, you save lives. I live with sickle cell and the pain and the issues that come along with sickle cell every day. I've had lots and lots of blood transfusions over my lifetime, probably in the hundreds. Blood helps me to be able to live.
My final tour was in Afghanistan in 2008. I was hit June 3rd. The next thing I remember, I woke up in Germany. The doctor came in and said, we're going to amputate your leg. I had to get a lot of blood transfusion to stay alive.
Because of you, I'm allowed to see my son grow up.
Because of you, I got a second chance at life.
Giving equals living. Give blood. Replenish the supply. Make an appointment to give today by visiting hhs.gov/giveblood. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. AB